Praise God. There may be some of you who were not with us the last couple of weeks, but I'm sharing, and so much of this as I've been researching and so much in my own experiences over the years about the baggage that we have in our lives and how to get rid of that baggage. You know, we started off with some of the areas of baggage that we have to actually acknowledge it and claim. There are so many things that we would qualify as baggage. Some of the things in our life, like unfulfilled expectations, the things that you had hoped would happen in your life and desired and things like that, and it was unfulfilled, and through the discouragement or the frustration of that, it just keeps haunting you. And it's like baggage that you're taking on this journey with you, and untreated pain, you know, the things that you've learned to just simply cope with and deal with, but you never allowed the Lord to come in and heal the pain of a situation or an encounter or something that's happened in your life. And that untreated pain can become baggage in your life because you're dragging it along. It is impacting you. It's affecting you because it hasn't been dealt with, and it's just lingering there wherever you go, and unresolved yesterdays. And you know, when you have situations that you have not been able to resolve or basically let go of, many times resolving is by letting go, forgiving, and just let it go. But you know, if you haven't had the closure of resolving the situations and walking away from them, then that can become baggage in your life. Unhealthy view of yourself, oh my word. So much of the times of what we're thinking about ourselves is just absolutely not true. And you're assuming things about you, and the insecurity and things that you face is a thing that you need to deal with, and quit dragging that baggage around with you and look at your life the way God looks at it. And also unrepented sin. You know, unrepented sin is not the same as unconfessed sin. Yeah, I've confessed, but unrepented sin is one that you haven't actually made a decision to turn from and walk away from. And so that thing keeps lingering. It's just there with you everywhere you go. And we're all on a journey. Every one of us are on a journey in our life. And yet so many of us are not enjoying the journey because of this baggage that we're taking along with us that we keeps dragging up. And every time you look around, there's that baggage, you know. There it is lingering in your life. And there's so many things that God never intended to be part of your journey. Never intended you to continue with that situation and go right on through life with that. And what you and I do many times is that we learn to cope with it and not actually be rid of it and get rid of it. And so today I want to share some things with you that pretty much is a big portion of the baggage. If you qualify baggage in situations, it's a relational baggage. It has to do with the relationships and how that becomes a baggage, and it's relational baggage or wounds in our life, how we've been wounded by relationships or through relationships. And there are many things that happen to us that leaves a mark, you know. So let me ask you, how many of you in here, you've had broken bones? Have you broken a bone? Yeah. And you know, some of it, like Kathy, I can look at some of her where she broke her wrist and it left a mark. I mean, that thing not supposed to stick out like that, you know. Mine don't stick out like that one, you know. How many of you have had stitches, you know? Oh, nearly all of us, you know, have had stitches. How many of you have had over 30 stitches? Oh, my word, my word. That's a lot of stitches. And so how many of you, I know this is reaching out there. I think this is a pretty good group, but you just never know somebody's background. How many of you have had knife wounds, been cut? Hello. Hello. There's a couple. Oh, really? You got to quit that knife fighting, Nancy. I tell you, some of us had a rough life, you know. How many of you have had gunshot wounds? Is there anybody in here that's had any of that? Oh, yeah? Whoa, my word. How many have been wounded in military? Anything like that? Yes, sir. Wow. And, you know, there's so many other things that we could name off that leave scar tissue, but there's nothing greater than a wound of the heart. You know, there's nothing more affecting that many times leaves scar tissue than a wound of the heart where you've been wounded and hurt here. And I believe that probably all of us, if I were to ask for a show of hands on this, probably all of us could raise our hand that how many have been wounded in their heart at one time or another in their life, you know, and in some way a relational wound. But the trouble is, so many few people know how to deal with it, how to cope with it, and how to be healed of it. And here's a common strategy that you've heard over time, is that time heals all wounds. How many have heard that? That you just think, okay, we just let it go. Time will heal that wound. But how many of you realized it didn't work? Amen. You know what I mean? You just let it go, and you let it go, and the longer that you let it go, the more that it festered. Right? The longer that you let it go, the more that it hurt. I've heard people, you know, bring up situations that happened 30 or 40 years ago. It's like, oh my word, you're still hurt over that? You're still struggling over that? You know, but that happens because you just thought, well, time will heal it, and you didn't know how to deal with it. And listen, let's go over to Genesis, the 11th chapter, and let me share a little story with you here, how a story of someone that was hurt. We're talking about Abraham's dad. And at this time, he was called Abram. But Abraham's dad, Terah, and let's look at Genesis, the 11th chapter. Look at verse 27. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. You've heard of Abraham and Lot. Well, this is connecting the dots here. And Lot's dad was Haran or Haran. But here's the thing. Look at verse 28. But Haran died in Ur of Chaldeans, the land of his birth. Now, here's the thing. While his father, Terah, was still alive. Now, that's put in there for a reason. Haran died while his dad, Terah, was still alive. And to my mind, he died prematurely, because how many of you realize, this is the way I feel like, that dads shouldn't have to bury their sons. Sons should bury their dads. And that's the way it should go. So when I've noticed, you know, so many men who have lost sons and had to bury their sons, that's a deep wound of heart. You know, it's something that's not the way it should be. And, you know, Jacob's son, Joseph, the good thing about God was talking about it in Genesis 46, he was reassuring that Joseph will be there to close your eyes when you die. And I think that's the way it should be. You know, you walk through that progression of going from this life to the next. Your children should usher you through that. You shouldn't be ushering your children through that. In Genesis, the 11th chapter there in verse 27, now something happened here with Terah. His son died. Something happened. It doesn't tell us exactly what, but he decides he's got to leave that place where his son died, and he needs to go to Canaan. And so he takes all of his family, Abraham and Abram and his daughter-in-law Sarai, in verse 31, and his grandson Lot, that was Haran's child, and he moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan. So something made him realize, I can't stay here any longer. I've got to move forward, and I need to end up in Canaan. That's my destination. And so we can gain, you kind of apply this to even our situations in life here. I'm headed to Canaan, but look at, let's continue in that verse. He said, but they stopped at Haran. Now see, they landed at a town that had the same name as his son who died. And so it said, when they came to Haran, that's where he settled and he lived. And Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. Wow. So he never got to the place to where he set out to go. Because why? He never learned to deal with the greatest relational wound of his life, losing his son. That's what it seems here that I'm trying to read out of this. And he got stuck in that situation, in that wound. That's the only thing that I can read out of it for right now, for me, when I'm trying to get a life lesson out of this. And we don't know all the ins and outs about it, but it appears that he had a wound. I mean, anybody that would have a situation like that that defined him. But now let's look at our lives. What about some of the things that have happened in our lives? Some of us here, possibly, you could say that divorce that I went through, it defined me. It defined me, the way that I react to people, the way that I act in relationships. And so many people today, they've gone through divorces, and it defined kind of their character for a time. Or the way that my dad treated me, it defined me. As a child, I was abused and misused, and that defined the character of who I was growing up. You see, there's situations that happen to us. If we can't walk through that and walk away from it, it'll define the character of who we are. I've worked with ladies in broken marriages. You know, when I worked at Star Aircraft in the airline industry, a lot of the ladies, there's 250 women that worked there and a handful of guys. Well, that was a different world. That was a different world going from working with all men and working with women. Everything's different. You don't show up with all them women and say, okay, tomorrow y'all be here an hour and a half early because we got new contracts and we got to get these done tomorrow. And they're going to say, no, because we got to take care of babysitters and daycares. And it's like, okay, this is a different world, you know. But I was able to work with many of the ladies in the office, you know, and just got close to a lot of them. And I, in the office, front office staff, many of the ladies were divorcees. And so many of them, I saw the situation that they came from, and it defined them in the way that they were acting at that point. The one lady in particular was very codependent. She didn't think, she took the blame for everything. I mean, she's such a good person, and that was such an abusive marriage that it defined her. You know, he beat her down so much, she actually believed that. And many times like that, it causes you to go against your own values when you go through some type of relational wound. I mean, even the person that you were, you're not that person anymore. And there was a time for me as a child, when I was a kid, I was such a fun-loving kid early on. You know, I don't think I ever had any problems. It's easy going. Until I was bullied and beat up one day. And I made a vow. I made a vow that I've repented of. But I made a vow that day I would never, ever lose a fight again, no matter what it took. I will never, ever let any bullies pick on me again because I was so tiny and small. But it defined my nature. It defined me to where I was a different person than I truly wanted to be. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, I'm really talking to you because I'm using me as an example, but I may be describing you because of a situation that you went through, and you're saying, that's not really me. I don't want to be like that. And it defined who I was until Jesus rescued me from myself. And some of you here tonight need to be rescued from yourself, from situations and baggage that you've been carrying for so many years. So that drive that happens in those situations can keep you from your potential. Potential of what you are and what you can accomplish. Relational baggage keeps us from our potential. You'll never get to the place you're supposed to go because of relational baggage. Just like Terah, he set out for Canaan. Whoa, how would that have rewritten history? If he'd actually made it to Canaan where he initially set out, what would that have been like? Man, that could have been awesome. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Reminds me of a song. Am I good? We can cut that out of the CD, see? That's it. Is it rubbing? Anything for a reason. Cut that beard off. It's affecting your microphone, baby. That means it's affecting the anointing, right? So, yeah, it'll be getting warm. I'll be wanting to get rid of it. But, you know, but like Tara, it may be that we never get to the place we're supposed to go because of relational baggage. And if you were honest with yourself, you could look at yourself tonight and say, listen, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be hindered from my potential. So, Lord, I want to hear what you'd say to me tonight. And you'll many times convince yourself, like he settled there, you'll convince yourself that it's the right way to go, but you're wrong. You're wrong. Psalm 73. Now, get this. Psalm 73. Listen, you need to take these notes down. If you don't, you know, go back to the website, pull them up. You need to reiterate these things. Because this one right here is so powerful. And David was a mess at times, wasn't he? But he was so honest. And the situations of his life so parallel many of our lives at times, right? Now look what he said here in Psalm 73. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He said, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was torn up inside." How many of you have been in a situation like that where you've had a bitter heart? You've allowed a root of bitterness to get into your heart because you've been hurt, you've been wounded, you've been done wrong, or you know, you came up short, and you never seemed like, I never get a break. And you get this bitterness in your heart, and you get torn up inside. Look at this. He said, "I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you." Listen to the another translation. "When my thoughts were bitter and my feelings were hurt, I was so stupid as an animal, I did not understand you." And when I'm reading this verse, when he's using an example of a somewhat of a mindless animal that doesn't make decisions like you and I, is nowhere capable of making decisions like you and I would say we're not the smartest people in the world when we're going through hurt. Amen. When we've been wounded and hurt inside and we got this relational baggage, we're not thinking straight many times. We're not functioning like we should be functioning. We think we are, simply because we're functioning, but we haven't allowed the Lord to bring healing in, and we miss out on who we are. We really are. Now listen to this. Here's where you've got to grasp hold, because many of you, listen, you've had situations where you've been wounded of heart. Things have happened to you, hard things, but you got to understand the truth here, okay? Because we have an adversary. We're children of the Most High God. We've been brought into understanding that even our hope is not like the hope that the world has. They have no hope. To them, this world is it. We've come to the understanding, we met Jesus and realized there's eternity to be lived. This life is short-lived. This life is not my home. Everything, the dynamics of everything that you and I as children of God, men and women of God, walk through is with a greater understanding than just the worldly day in and day out, mundane day in and day out, accomplish, go to work, buy a few things, raise some kids and die and go be put in a grave. For us, it's much more than that. So you've also got to understand spiritual warfare, spiritual battles, how to fight the enemy. If you can't even recognize the enemy when he attacks you, you're going to be defeated. One of the situations that Kathy and I, we were like a lot of young, ignorant newlyweds that I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to work through things. I didn't know how to walk through things and work things out with my wife and talk about things and hash things out. And so many times I was so quiet and withdrawn, you know, Kathy would try to talk and she's, and one of these days, and me, I felt like, in my mind, mentally, I thought I'm being attacked. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You, okay. And so this day, I was not going to give in. We were toe-to-toe arguing. Man, I'm holding my ground today. I'm not letting this little old woman beat me today. I don't care if I'm right or whether I can say the right things. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm bigger than she is. She's not bossing me. I don't know. But here we are, we're arguing, and God gives Kathy a vision. And she sees up over my shoulder, and she suddenly sees the devil laughing his full head off and realized what was happening. And she threw her arms around me and just hugged me and loved me. I melted, and that healed it on the spot. Reason I'm saying that to you is when the enemy is attacking your life, your marriage, it's really not about your marriage, or it's not about that other person that you've combated with. There's a much bigger reason. Every attack of the devil is actually an attempt to derail you from your purpose. If you can never lose sight of that, you're on your way to success. The enemy is trying to derail your purpose in life. He's using that problem in that situation to stop something bigger. But you got to recognize it. So the devil used Haran to keep Terah from reaching Canaan. He used the hurt of that situation for him to lose vision. And so many times we get locked into that thing when there's something so much bigger at stake. Church life, you see this happening all the time. You see people coming into church life, and suddenly something rubbed you wrong. I didn't make it back there and shake your hand, or I'm using me, okay? Somebody, they looked at you wrong, or whatever. You get mad. You get torqued out of shape, and you don't even recognize how the devil's trying to put thoughts in your head. If he can nip you in the bud or nip this ministry in the bud, he's trying to do that because there's a much bigger picture involved. Amen. So what happens when we read from the story of Terah, that when we have a wound, so much of the time, it's going to pollute other relationships. It's going to pollute other relationships. When you've been offended, when you're bitter, you're not thinking straight. When you're walking in unforgiveness, and what it starts doing, when it pollutes your relationships messed up, it starts polluting the good relationships. Have you ever been around a wounded person? Yeah, they're sitting right next to me. Don't ask me to point them out. Yeah. You love each other, you know, but they don't even know how to have a relationship, a proper relationship, because they're messed up by some other person, and now they're messing you up. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Now they're messing you up. Maybe you're that person tonight. Maybe you're that dad tonight that got angry in a relationship, maybe with your kids, and you walked away from it thinking, why did I act like that? Why did I respond that way? Why did I lose my temper like that? You got some kind of baggage, man. If you're not even able to respond properly and think properly and not able to even handle a relationship and work in a relationship, not that we don't all make mistakes, but boy, when that something is driving you, there's something more deep-rooted there. Are y'all with me? Yeah. That you haven't allowed the Lord to come in, and you do these things to people that you love. And so when you're wounded, you start wounding and have an impact on the people that you really actually care about. Amen. Let's go over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 15. I'm reading the Passion Translation. Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace. Make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. What that's saying there is that, you know, a bitter spirit's not only hurting you, it's hurting the people that you're coming in contact with. When you got a bitter spirit, when you've allowed bitterness to get into your heart through some kind of a relationship, some kind of a situation where somebody has offended you or hurt you, misused you, and abused you. You allow that to get in and you harbor that, then your heart can become bitter. And then you start poisoning all those other people around you. Here's some of the things that happens when you get a bitter spirit. Here's some of the results. Three things. Number one, it makes us defensive. When you got a bitter spirit, it makes you defensive. You know, we think that we're defending ourselves when we're actually many times hurting other people. You become defensive. You got to protect yourself. And, you know, God can heal that. Number two, it makes us distant. When you got a bitter spirit, you'll lose your commitment. It makes us very distant. You know, when you get kind of in an argument or fight, you say, that's it. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. And you just think, I'm going to cope with it and walk away. And you start becoming distant with people. Well, I can just cope with this, but you're hurting yourself. But you know what? You're hurting people around you, too, who love you. When you become distant like that, I'm just going to handle it myself. And also, when you have a bitter spirit, when you've been hurt, and a root of bitterness is getting in, it makes you very demanding. you become very much like a mean and controlling person. You ever seen a mean and controlling person? This means yes, this means no. You know, you've seen this person is so controlling and they're constantly controlling everything. And you know what I'm seeing about sometimes people like that, that are trying to control everything? When you look at their heart, they're very insecure in heart. But they're trying to lay hold of something and take hold of it, take control of it so that they don't lose control again. Many times so that they don't become where they have a injury anymore or something, that sort of thing, where they felt like they were so out of control and so damaged, and now I've got to gain control. But so much of that time, they're insecure. But they got to feel like they got everything under control. But many times, they're just scared to death. That may be even you here tonight, have a spirit of insecurity in their lives. And what we do is it's possible that we start polluting other relationships. And possibly that's what happened to Tara. Because when you look at, continue on in that story with Tara, in Genesis 12, Abraham had to leave his own dad. God called him away from Tara. And I'm thinking, Lord, could that be an example of how families become fragmented because of injury and pain and not able to deal with it properly and get healed from it and continue on where you're supposed to go? Because when sometimes like that pain and we're supposed to progress through this and walk through this and get past it, but we stop right here and we just live right here. We just stay right here. And sometimes it fragments our relationships, and that's not a good thing. And the last thing that many times happens, it'll destroy our relationship with God. Here's the thing that you got to see, that our relationships with people, you and I, you know, we'd love to, hey, if you hurt my feelings, I think I'll just go to second service if you go to first service. I don't have to deal with you. I don't even have to see you anymore. You know what I'm saying? But our relationship with people, other people, is inseparable with our relationship with God. That's something we don't quite grasp sometimes. A lot of people that have, and I'm just not talking about it here tonight. You're all innocent. I mean, you know, but people that get mad and run off, think I'll just do this. I can have my own relationship with God without you, and they're gone. I don't need all you folks, you pretty folks, and you offended me, and I'm gone. But see, there's something about that, you know. The Bible is all through the Bible. You can't say that you love God, but you hate your brother. You see, these relationships are inseparable. You can't say, me and God, we're all right, but I sure don't need y'all folks. I had a quote from Chris Hodges that said, the horizontal, that's this, will actually determine the vertical. We want this many times where this can be all messed up. Some of us have so much of the time wondered why God and me are not connecting well. I'm not hearing his voice like I should. I'm not feeling it, man, you know. When it's actually because God wants you to fix some of the horizontal first. Maybe that's the problem. Let's look over to Mark the 11th chapter. Mark the 11th chapter it's got fabulous truths in it. And many times we go over and read Mark 11, 22 through 24. Have faith in God. Speak into our mountains. Believe in when we pray, and we'll get what we pray for. But then you go over to verse 25, and it touches on what I'm talking to you about tonight, about fixing the horizontal first so you can have the vertical with God. It says in verse 25, but when you are praying first, when you're praying, and you're wanting something from God, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You want something to work right here, you got to do something about this right here. You holding a grudge against somebody? You got to start there. You got to forgive them. Why? Why is that so important? And here I'm discussing with you about having a broader picture, eyes to see the big picture of what this is all about, you and I, Christians, living for God, seeing the spiritual warfare. Why is it so important to fix this before this works? Because God knows that you're going to be unable to receive what He wants to do in your life if you're unwilling to pass it along to other people. Hey, God, I want you to pour into me. Pour into me. Well, you'll just become a stagnant pool. You'll be unwilling and unable to receive what He has and what He wants to do in you if you don't have a willingness to pass it on to other people. It's like, see, it's really wrong for us, you and I, to say, God, I'll receive all that forgiveness. Lord, I love the fact that You forgive me of my sins. They're white as snow. And you've forgiven as far as the east is from the west. I'll take all that forgiveness, but I don't want to forgive them. See, God don't play that game. Amen. When Jesus was asked the most important law in the Bible, He gave them two. Love God and love people. Because they're inseparable. They're inseparable. It even shows up in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Wow. I mean, this becomes one of the most important messages, is because it affects you and God. It affects you and God. Until we settle the horizontal, the vertical doesn't work as well. And listen, God is trying to get it to us as the best that He can. He's trying to abound toward you the best and the most that He can. Even in our giving. To me, that giving, financial giving, is just a form of worship. And it parallels the relationship I have with God, and not just in my finances. Because He says, you know, if you give, the same measure that you give will be measured back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will He pour into your bosom. That God wants to bless you according to His riches and glory, not ours. But it's so much of the time dependent on our attitude toward our giving. The measure we give, not just finances, but the measure we give, it'll be measured back to us. You want forgiveness? Give forgiveness. You want mercy? Give mercy. And God's saying, you're going to get it. Our attitude is, God, I'm going to get all I can all I get, and put it on the shelf. And what we ought to do is be taking shovels and just shoveling it back out there, just giving, giving, and giving. Because we can't outgive God. But He's saying it has so much to relate to on a horizontal level, and then it's going to connect me to the vertical level. Yes. See, God's saying, give me something to work with. So much of the time, we want everything we can get from God without giving it out here. We're talking about relational baggage. Amen. Yes. You know, there's some of you that at times, you think, not going to do any good. There's no hope in me forgiving people. What's that going to accomplish? But here's the thing. When you're hearing what I'm saying to you, and understanding the fact that you could be forfeiting God working in your life because of your unforgiveness, are you willing to forfeit everything that God has for you to hang on to that unforgiveness? There comes a time you just got to deal with it. Psalms 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Let me give you a few more things of a way to help you. Number one, I just need to go to a chiropractor. That may be my neck popping there, you know. How about a handheld mic? Listen, number one, the one thing that's really good, I talked to you last week, I think it was, about having accountability. My word. Yeah, get me a handheld one, somebody, now. But is that bothering y'all like it's bothering me? Yeah, it is. One of the ways to help you get through your relational baggage is you got to reveal the hurt. Because some things, the thing of it is, you just can't handle it in and of yourself and that damage in there. Thank you, sir. How's that? We're good? Yeah. And that's where we come in, like our church, where life groups play into this. And doing life with people that you learn and establish a relationship with, where you have a relationship of trust, and you can share your heart and what you're struggling with. You understand? Sometimes, and I've got guys that I am accountable, made myself accountable to, that know my hurts, and I share my hurts, and they're my friends because they don't judge me by my hurts. But they don't mind telling me, Stan, maybe you're just unforgiven. Maybe you just need to deal with that. You're probably right. And then pray for me. So you got to reveal the hurt. Psalms 32. Look at Psalms 32. So we need to build some of these healthy, life-giving relationships. Psalms 32, David said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Psalms 39, but when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. It increased. You know, sometimes you've got to get this thing out and be able to have someone you can talk to about it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, once you've been healed, I ain't about going back and dragging all the junk up that's happened to you in your life. You let that stuff go. But maybe you got some wounds there, relational wounds that you need to deal with. You need somebody to talk to about, help you walk through it. Many times you've dug a rut so deep you need some help getting out of it. You know, here's the thing. If you choose to keep that to yourself, this becomes your verse. My anguish increased. Because you dwell on it and you dwell on it and you dwell on it. It's attached to you. That relational damage and baggage is right there, and you're constantly... and your anguish increases. And, man, you're not going to win any battles that way. So you reveal the hurt. Here's a key principle. You've got to come to a point where you release the people involved. You'll keep carrying that baggage until you release the people involved. You just need to release them and just give them to the Lord. Are you with me? And let God touch their hearts and their lives. And listen, I would love it if there was some other way of doing it other than going through forgiveness. Have you ever heard one of those? There's some of those preachers that preach so good. Oh, Lord. They preach on forgiveness, and I was there. Lord, Lord, oh, man, Lord, just give me somebody to forgive. Oh, man, not that guy. Not that guy. And... there's just no other way around it. You've got to walk in forgiveness. There's not another way. And the longer that you hold on to it, the more you may begin to look like them. Wow. I know it was wrong. It was mean. It hurt. But just let God have it. So it brings a conclusion like this. God's unable to do the work in your heart if you're not able to extend it to other people. And here's the thing that's very important to get. It's not something about that incident as it so much now becomes something about you. Did y'all hear that? Yeah. That situation, that incident that happened, as you hang on to it, now it's not so much about that. It's about you. How many people have I heard over the years, marriages, husbands and wives, not getting along, because of some argument they got into, and they don't even remember what they argued about. But they're still mad at each other. You know what I'm saying? That's the way we get so many times. And so, but the thing is, if you'll receive what God did for you, then you have the capacity to do that for others. Amen? So once you've revealed the hurt, and you've released those that hurt you, then refocus on God's plan for your life. Then really step back in there. And don't let some incident stop you from the potential of what God wants to do in your life. Get it squared away. Get it right in your heart. And then say, okay, God, what do you want to do with my life? What's your plan for me right now? Do y'all remember Joseph and his brothers that sold him into slavery? and, you know, lied to their dad that he was dead and sold him into slavery. And that Joseph went through some great hardship, but God brought him out of all of that. And he was one of the highest officials of Pharaoh, to where the brothers came to him for sustenance. They were starving, but he was the guy that they'd answer to. And Joseph, he had a chance to get his brothers back. And he went to his dad, they buried his dad, and when they came back from that funeral, they said, uh-oh, what if he turns on us now? You know, dad's gone. What if he does this? And, you know, he could bury us too. But in Genesis 50, he said, am I in the place of God? In other words, am I the one going to be passing judgment? Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done. He's talking about destination. He's talking about reaching the potential of what God had for his life. See, it's the way we look at things. It's not about the event as much as it is now about you. If you trust God through situations, many times what the enemy is meaning for evil for you and destruction, God will turn it to good. God has a plan even in all of that. When Kathy and I stepped out of the ministry for over 14 years, I was so disappointed when I really got my act together and thought I had wasted all of those years. But see, God still had a plan in it. Me stepping into the levels that I was in management and the jobs that I had prepared me to do what I'm doing today. God had a plan. When the enemy meant evil, God had a plan. What is he saying about your life? What can you say about your life? Can you look at the big picture through all of that challenge and all those hardships? I was reading an article, a news article, about a young lady on our soccer team that's in our international team, competes for the United States, and she's quite good, but she went through an injury at one point, and she was out for a while, but she was talking about how that really took her back, and when she went through that healing process, it made her appreciate more what she was able to do, her gifts, and it appreciate more being part of a team. I mean, there's things she started naming off. She came out of it with a better attitude. She was so taking things for granted and arrogant before, but realized, man, look what it takes, and was so appreciative to be able to come out on top. What kind of attitude do you and I have, having gone through damage and relational baggage and damage and hurts and wounds? Have we come out on top, or do we still have that baggage coming along with us? Let me close with this in Job. So you want to reveal it, you want to release it, and you want to refocus. But in Job, chapter 11, where he's talking to Job in verse 13, put your heart right and reach out to God. That's what I drew out of that one verse. Put your heart right and reach out to God. In verse 15, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Wow. Then you'll be able to face the world again. And then verse 16, then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. You got to get your heart set like flint to follow God. Determination. And then face the world again, firm and courageous. I want to use, Paul, can I use you as an example? Yes. All right, you're a good guy. He doesn't even know what I'm going to say, but he's Paul is a great guy. Came into this church some time ago, and as soon as he came in here, I said, I know you, you're the running guy. Because he has the beard and the hair. And where I turn off on South Austin, a lot of times that'd be one of the areas where he's running. And man, and I used to love to run years and years ago. Don't so much now, but I did then. But I didn't know the story. I didn't know the story. Now, he came from Marine Corps, a lieutenant in the Marine Corps, And so he didn't always look like this. I don't think they let him have this in the Marine Corps. But he came through a traumatic injury to his body, in his your back, and it just he couldn't walk properly. He's in extreme pain. But he didn't stay there. And there's a time when I read this, that's what I think about Paul, that he faced the world again firmly and courageously, that I don't have to be in this spot. I don't have to be a cripple the rest of my life. I have determination to make it through. I mean, so much so. I mean, I think one of the races that he ran was like 74, 75 miles. Was that right? Because I remember him one day telling me, he said, "Man, I sprained my ankle today, so I only ran 12 miles today." I'm thinking I would have run 12 feet. You ran 12 miles. Talk about discipline. I mean, I'm using him, and it's fun, but it's a true story. That ought to be the story of our lives coming out of damage and wounds in our life. We ought to be able to pass that along to somebody else and say, "I know that you don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear that I've been through what you're going through. What you really want to hear is how I got through it. Was my heart toward God." Are y'all hearing me? Here's how I got rid of that baggage of the hurt and the wounds. I pressed into God. I took these steps, and I made it through. And I refocused, and I found God and what He wants to do in my life, and now I'm reaching my potential. Don't you want to be able to say that? Because all of us have been through some type of relational baggage and wounds, but we don't have to be carrying that on the journey with us the rest of our life. Amen. Amen. So see, this is what God's asking us to do today, is put your heart right and reach out to Him. And then face the world again, firm and courageous, because He'll pick you up. God's a picking up kind of God, man. He don't leave you down there if you reach out to Him. He's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. He picks you up. You're His child. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He sent His Son for you, to die for you. Well, I'm out of time. So let's stand together. And I want to ask you today is just you and God right now. And I'm not going to call anybody up. I want you to close your eyes right where you are, because I'm just talking to you. Right now, your eyes closed. Forget everybody around you. It's just you and God right now. And I want you to just let God touch your heart today. Because chances are, I'm sitting here sharing this from my heart. You've already gone through. You know what the emotional baggage is you've been carrying around. You know what that emotional, relational wound is in your heart that you haven't been able to be healed of yet. And I'm saying to you tonight, man, just let God touch you today. Get your heart right with God and say, "God, I know You're my healer, and I'm asking You today to heal my heart, to heal me, to heal me. Give me life today. Truly be the Lord of my life. I don't want to have a heart of bitterness. I don't want to be bitter in my heart and let a root of bitterness get down into my heart. So I want to give You my life today, Lord, and bring healing in my heart from those wounds, to where there's not even any scar tissue, not even any problems with it any longer. Lord, heal my heart today. Heal my heart, Jesus, today. Let me be right so that I can be pleasing in Your sight. God, help me to reach my potential, what You have for my life, Lord, because this pain I'm in is not what You intended for me. This is not Your will for my life, to have this affecting my life, hindering my walk, hindering my progression, not reaching my potential. Jesus, heal my heart today. And Lord, I pray that You'll connect us with brothers and sisters. Surround those tonight that are praying that prayer. Holy Spirit, You know who that is. You know what they're going through. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You surround them with brothers and sisters who will pour into their hearts, pour into their lives, walk this out with them, Father, to experience victory in their life.
what you fully intended for us. Because you intended good things for us. Your plan for us is a good plan. And Lord, we don't need to be carrying this baggage with us the rest of our life. We need to lay it down today. Be cut loose from it. So Father, we want to say tonight by faith, we thank you for healing our hearts. For healing these wounds in our hearts. As we say to you, Father, we love you. We want what you want in our lives tonight. We don't want to be a bitter person, but a healed person. In right thinking, right attitude, right heart, before your sight tonight. Have your way with our hearts tonight, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I tell you what, if you prayed that prayer, you expect the Holy Spirit to be speaking to you, man. He's going to take you places. He's going to walk this out. You're going to begin to experience freedom. As you take him by the hand, let him take you. You're going to begin to start seeing the results of that freedom in your life. Amen? And do those things I suggested that you do. Connect with people. Get people that you entrust to spend your days with. So praise God. We're going to have guys down front, ministry team, that will pray with you if you've got other specific prayers. But go and be blessed. I love you guys. Have a great week.